Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Van Weven, and alongside me, as always, is Mr. Spencer Last Ride Williams.
I don't know what this is my last ride for, but I am not a fan of that.
I was going to say, well, let's look at it this way. Let's hope this is the last ride for Sylvester Stallone in the role of John Rambo, because we just got back from the movies. And we just saw Rambo Last Blood. So stick around as we dive into that and talk about it. And it's not pretty, folks. So stick around.
The Filmlosophers podcast are destructively brought to you by Bingo Media TV and VGB Studios.
That we are.
Each Wednesday morning, check the traps you've laid for your enemies. Then head down and download the latest episode on your favorite streaming platforms such as Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Libsyn, Player FM, and Audio Boom. I noticed you took out Pandora this week.
Pandora!
There it is.
Sorry.
To win a war, you've got to become war again. Which, you know, just as a sailing seems like there's something wrong with that. Connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter at twitter.com/filmlosophy101. Finally, after a day of mayhem and vengeance, head on over and check out our entire list of episodes at filmlosophers.com.
That's right. We got over 180 episodes there where you can check us all out, all of our episodes, everything from Interstellar to Deadpool to conversations about women behind the camera and Spencer's ridiculous pick of Sharknado 6.
Oh, yes. That did happen, and it was ridiculous, and I loved it.
Yeah, it did happen, and I'm still reeling from it, so thank you very much. But yeah, check out all of our episodes. We got some great stuff, including some great extra credit content that you got to check out. So head on over after you listen to this episode, because this episode is going to be a doozy. That's right. We are talking about Rambo Last Blood. This has been long in the making of this franchise. It's been this roller coaster of a ride since part one back in 1982 with Rambo First, or not even Rambo, it was just called First Blood.
Yep.
And then 2, 3, 4, and then I believe this is 5.
Yep.
This being 37 years after, though, 30. Yeah, it's about 37 years since the first film.
Yep, surprisingly.
And it is. Over the course of time, been a staple in the iconic echelons of action films from First Blood to, I almost said Rocky too, to Rambo 2 and 3 to John Rambo, or to just Rambo.
Yep, just Rambo.
And then this last one, Rambo Last Blood. So, you know what? We got a chance to go and check out the film today, and we got some stuff to say about it. I think that's the easiest way to put it right now.
That's the nicest way to put it, yes.
So, Spence, before we continue forward, go ahead and give us that official synopsis goodness.
Almost 4 decades after they drew First Blood, Sylvester Stallone is back as one of the greatest action heroes of all time, John Rambo. Now, Rambo must confront his past and unearth his ruthless combat skills to exact revenge in a final mission. A deadly journey of vengeance, Rambo Last Blood, marks the last chapter of this legendary series.
Well, I mean, that's like the one shining part about that whole thing you just said.
Well, we'll see. I read something I want to talk to you about.
Directed by Adrian Grunberg and co-written by Sylvester Stallone, who also reprises his role as the Vietnam War veteran John Rambo. The film stars Paz Vega, Sergio Perez Menchada, Adriana Barraza, Yvette Monreal, Jeannie Kim, Joaquin Cosio, and Oscar Hinada. Hinada.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Let me have 2 Hinadas, please. And a churro. Released 11 years after Rambo back in 2008, this actually marks the shortest film in the Rambo series at 89 minutes.
That's an hour. Just throwing this out here, that's a bad sign when things are that short.
On December 6, 2018, Stallone stated that this would be his last Rambo film. False. Saying that his character would finally find what he assumes to be peace. However, at the Cannes 2019 Film Festival, Stallone stated that he would continue to play the character of John Rambo should, quote, Rambo Last Blood prove to be successful.
Okay, did you see the quote after that little part where he said that?
Mm-mm.
He was thinking, like, the next movie could be a prequel series, possibly, of his time before he was in the military, which would just be in high school. Because in this movie, he said he joined at 17, and before that, you're in high school for the most part. What
is that? No, 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 no. I don't even know what to say about that, because then it would essentially be, wouldn't that be, what's that movie with the kids where their town is taken over?
Yes, yes it is. I don't remember the name of that movie.
I literally just had it. But either way, like, Wolverine! but, I mean, I don't know if that'd be something interesting people would be interested
in. How would it be? Like, the interesting thing about this man is what happened to him in the war. It's his military experience. If you go before that, you've got none of that. You have almost a different person.
Red Dawn, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Wolverine!
I kept thinking about The Hunt for Red October. And it's like, that's not it.
That's a submarine movie.
I know!
Okay. So, just to let you know a little bit of the numbers. Now, we are recording this a little earlier from the weekend. We got some great stuff in store for you to come out as the month continues and we get into the month of October. So, we're actually going to be doing that on our normal recording day. So, this episode is being recorded a little bit early, but we do have some of the numbers. And thus far, we know that the budget for this film was $50 million estimated. Now, it's opening weekend thus far, which this is Saturday. So, right. Friday and Saturday. Well, opening weekend usually starts on Thursday, mm-hmm. Friday and Saturday, unless there was a Wednesday opening, has $7.2 million. Okay, it's only Saturday.
Yeah, so.
In comparison to other movies that are coming out during the time, there is actually a Downton Abbey movie, you follow, mm-hmm. that is in theaters right now.
Right.
And that is sitting at $13.8 million right now currently.
Is this opening weekend for that movie?
This is that opening weekend.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. If it wasn't, I'd even be more worried. Like, if this was like their second, third weekend into Downton Abbey and it's still doing more than the opening weekend for Rambo Last Blood, I'd be worried. That says something because, yes, as much as people enjoy certain types of action films, I do feel like certain things run its course and the only people who continue to perpetuate it are those stragglers who come back and see it again and again and again. Mm. One could say that's kind of the same nature of like most Marvel films, that Marvel superhero films are essentially on the phasing out, but the only thing that's keeping them still in quote-unquote business is the fans and the fanboys and fangirls who continue to frequent this theaters and watch the movies over and over again, keeping them in business. Yeah, there's a slight similarity, but the difference is the Marvel movies are actually good. As we talk about Rambo Last Blood, it's actually fitting that we did this episode the following week because last week we did First Blood and we figured we would kind of revisit that. So if you got a chance to check out that episode, it was really good, really insightful and really fun. Not to mention we had a great game that we played at the end of towards the end of the episode.
Okay.
And Spencer was very, very amused. So, yeah, if you get a chance after this episode, head over there and let us know what you thought. But yeah, this film, so talking about Rambo Last Blood. So I think it's safe to say, like, in terms of prior experience, we kind of talked about that last week, but one of the things that I want to know from you, Spence, is how did you prepare for this movie?
I did nothing because I actually wanted to like watch one of the any of the other Rambo movies this week, but I just didn't have time. Especially since I think it was you who told me that like they went downhill in quality after the first one. Well, which is really sad.
Two was okay.
Okay.
Three was kind of meh, and then four, as I just got a chance to show you.
Yeah, I saw clips from four. It's very concerning.
Now, we talked about part four last week and talking about like the difference between where the film last left us at with the most recent film, mm-hmm. and then going back and reflecting back on the first film. And there's a vast difference, a huge difference.
Just so big of a difference.
But it's still like one of those things where it's like, you know, this movie carries the mantle of that first film. No matter how sloppily or, you know, inexcusably it does it, it still does, mm-hmm. you know? But I don't know. Like, I don't know if there was much we could have done to prepare. Because I was actually trying to see if there was anything that you had done that I hadn't. Because I honestly didn't do anything either. I'm like, I don't really want to watch all those movies again. I'm good. And I'm all for watching movies at any time.
Yeah.
But, nope.
Yeah, plus, you know, saw where the guy started, missed the entire middle part of the journey, gonna see where it ends. That seems good enough.
Just as long as we don't see before it started. I don't need to see any of that. I already saw Forrest Gump. I know what the Vietnam War looked like.
But what was this man like in the womb? You can't know someone unless you know what they're like fighting. Before they've left their mother.
Fighting pathogens. Okay. I don't even know. So in terms of this film, obviously with the limited amount of information that we had prior to, not to mention, I mean, the trailers really gave nothing, or at least I didn't really invest any amount of time to really see the trailers. Huh. All I know is there was going to be explosions and a bow and arrow. That's all I saw.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. I know I saw the trailer, but I don't think I could remember anything about it.
So I don't know, like in terms of like expectations, they're very small. They're very minimal. But I think the biggest thing to kind of take note of is this film franchise obviously has been going on for the last 32 years, 37 years, sorry, 37 years.
Which is insane.
It is insane for the fact that it's been 11 years since the last one, and Sylvester Stallone is still wanting to go out there and do stuff like this. And then, like I mentioned, he wanted to come back and, you know, he wants to come back if the character, quote unquote, you know, does, you know, really successfully.
I'd be surprised.
I mean, the next thing he would do is like him in a wheelchair. It's like the guy who's trying to corner the market on bingo on Thursday nights at the, you know, senior citizens home. I don't know.
Corner the market.
Nevertheless, going into this trailer or this review, obviously this is a non-spoiler review. The film still is in theaters. It just dropped. No offense to anybody who wants to know about it. I just don't really want to get back into them because that movie, now, mind you, that doesn't say that, you know, we won't have that conversation later, you know, in an extra credit down the road, talking about some of the things that really grieved Spencer, because Spencer looks grieved right now.
I just want to mention the one thing, you know, I already want to mention.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's not much to expect out of these movies as of late. Ever since part two, because part one was the film that really kind of turned its head on like the whole idea of an action film, the action star. After part one, two, three, and even four almost became formulaic. Rambo was out, you know, off to some other place, trying to find himself, trying to figure out, you know, how to find peace. And then he would get sucked back in because he was, quote unquote, a soldier of war. He was a man who was a warrior. He wasn't made for peace. He was made to fight. Like, for as much as this man suffered in the first film, like, everybody seems to forget, like, in part two, three, and even four, like, this man's just trying to, like, you know, recover from his demons. Why push him back into that? It's kind of like a... For me, it's kind of like an irresponsible movie.
Well, no. This movie is very irresponsible.
Yeah.
If not in the treatment of its own characters and decisions that its characters decide to make.
and not really thinking about the consequences of what you're trying to do. Hmm. That seems to be like an ongoing theme.
I don't know. It's one of those types of things with this movie where it's like, I'm going to say this. This was the only expectation. I was thinking about it on the way to the movies, and I was lamenting about it after the movies. I was saying, the only expectation, the only thing that I would love, absolutely adore about this movie is if it was a return to form for the story. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was more in the vein of, okay, Rambo went to go, and he actually found his inner peace, or, you know, aligned his chakra, or whatever he was out there doing, you know, got rid of the mullet, which he did get rid of the mullet.
For now.
But you have him actually be in a state of rest, I guess, or like a state of like life has been good because he's found what makes him happy.
Which is interesting, seeing as how he struggled so much with that as a thing in the first movie. That he was just like, oh, I can just be happy now. And so it's kind of odd. Like, did they ever like go over that in the other ones or no?
No, every time he would be off somewhere else, Colonel Troutman would find him and recruit him, or someone else would find him and recruit him, or a church group out in the middle of Burma or whatever that was will find him and recruit him, and then the pastor will come out and then recruit him.
How is everyone finding this man?
For a man who's trying to stay away, he's being found pretty easily.
A pastor found you.
A pastor from Colorado. It was the biggest hope that I had for this movie, that this being the quote-unquote last blood, as in the bookend, the other side of the bookend to what First Blood started, I was hoping this film would have been a return to form. Like, in this situation, Rambo has found that inner peace. He's found something that makes him happy. He's found the hope that he had been looking for since the first film. And then coming to that is put into a situation where he doesn't have to exact wrath upon anybody, but it's more of his push to survive, his drive to survive in the face of like stuff around him. Mm-hmm. Like whatever's going on. That's what I was hoping for. And that's like my biggest expectation, slash hope slash dream. So we'll talk about whether or not that landed or not. But Spencer, what about you? Did you have any expectations at all?
No, not really. Just really the note of it gets worse as it goes on. I was like, well, maybe they've learned something in the years since the 2008 Rambo movie. And
they learned something, all right.
Well,
the more blood you show, the more money you get.
I hope that's not what they learned. And I hope we prove them wrong, people. But more like, you know, just actually kind of, yeah, going more back to like the first movie type issues and giving us something from there.
Like, even if, you know, like, not to say that obviously we can't rewrite the film. It's already been placed in the can. It's in theaters all over the world. It is what it is. But like, even if it would have been like an opportunity where John Rambo now runs like a homestead for folks with PTSD, or he has something for veterans, or he's doing something to like, I think that would have been a great way to turn it on its head, to where like he gets like bullied, or his property gets whatever, or something happens to one of the people that he has, because almost turning it into like a Rocky scenario.
I think a good avenue for this movie would have been to like how the first one dealt with like real world issues of like, you know, these vets coming home and then like they're just having a hard time getting work and feeling despised by society.
Yeah,
like you could talk about like issues that veterans face now, like as they get older. It's like, oh, you know, the deal was that, you know, America said we were going to take care of you, and maybe the system's not doing a great job like it should be. Let's talk about that kind of stuff. It'd be a good idea, like, it'd be a good way to shine a light on a problem.
Oh, completely, completely. And I agree 100% that this film had that as an opportunity. Let's just put it that. It had it as an opportunity to take that into that direction. However, sad to say, that wasn't the case at all because of the fact that what ended up happening was not what anybody really was hoping for. And it is a lot to say that, like, for this film, it is definitely not what you're used to with prior, you know, films. Like the prior Rambo films.
Mm-hmm.
It's so the first thing that I guess, like, after the film, after the initial shock of it all, is I was under the impression for the longest time that part four was probably the most, well, no, it probably is still, like, in terms of, like, ferocity and craziness, I thought part four was pretty bad. This one's about on par with that one. It's up there. Now, in terms of, like, viciousness and just how despicable the villain or the villain group are, you still got to give it to part four.
Okay.
For what reason? Why? For what reason, Spence? Because we just literally saw the last third of that film a little bit ago.
Okay, but I don't know what.
Cool. Is there really a reason for what happened that you saw in that scene?
I don't know what's going on. Like, it's just a military group beating people.
And then what happened, Spence?
And then they got decimated by Rambo and his magic machine.
I'm talking about what did the bad people do with that one lady and her baby?
Oh, yeah, they threw this kid into a burning building for no reason.
And in terms of, like, viciousness, I would say that they might have that. But this movie's just kind of a little bit all over the place. I was really hoping to get a solid story through and through. Like, you take the first film. Like we talked about in the last episode, Lesson 81. 181.
182.
182. We're getting there. Like 1982. Where that film has a solid singular storyline that runs through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a man goes to a nearby town to find a friend that he went to war with. Friend passes away, leaves him distraught, ends up, like, just wandering through the town, gets picked up by a sheriff, you know, like, messed with, treated badly, gets wrongfully imprisoned. Man goes off, has a PTSD attack, goes ape, leaves the station goes after him, and he tries to survive just because he's still suffering from PTSD. Singular, like, story thread.
Mm-hmm.
This movie tries to incorporate way too many story threads just for, like, what everybody is just hoping for. Just, like, people are begging for just a simpler storyline. Just a simple storyline.
Yeah, there were quite a few turns in this one where it's like, okay, this person's doing this, which leads to this person doing this, which leads to that person doing that, and then this person has to go and fight these people. And it's like, you know, it's a Rambo film. Like, you don't have to have, like, all of this stuff just, like, as, like, goalposts of, like, we need a chart through something. Like, just make it, like, a lot more straightforward.
Yeah. And it's sad because of the fact that this film had the potential to just, even in the same story, like, in the same delivery they were wanting to do, this film could have been something more than what it was. And I really, it's really saddening to say that it definitely is not a return to form for the first film.
No.
And in all honesty, it's not, it might be a little worse off than the last one, part four. Like, part four, yes, was bloody and crazy, but there's a singular storyline, you know? And it's a singular thread that runs through, and then after that, you know, part four, you get this one, which has bits and pieces here and bits and pieces there, and you have bad acting here and bad acting there and inconsequential actors there.
And also, like, the people making the movie not paying attention to how many people are where.
Oh my gosh.
Because there are certain parts of the movie where, like, you know, a certain amount of people walk into a place and then people start dying, and you're like, I feel like I'm seeing more people die than went into this in the first place.
I feel like they took the idea of, like, respawn locations to like a serious, like actual physical thing, because there's a scene in the film where you see four Land Rovers or five Land Rovers pull up to a place, and then you see them come out with guns, and then you see like this endless supply of people like pouring through a hallway, and you're wondering, where the heck did all these other people come from?
Yeah, it seemed like a lot.
It was a lot. It was like, wait, no, hold on. You got five carfuls and you got 3 dozen people. Like, I know Mexican people know how to like pack a car, but this is ridiculous. Like, this is like, you know, clown car stuff here we're doing. And it's sad because of the fact that, like I said, this film had strong potential. And I think, you know what hits the worst about this film? Like, what hits the hardest is that the actual author...
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, who wrote 1972's First Blood, the novel, which was adapted into the 82 film First Blood that we talked about. The author, David Morrell, actually has spoken out about the actual film that just recently dropped. And he goes, this film is a mess. I'm embarrassed to have my name on it or have my name associated with it. And that's in a tweet. Yeah. He said that on public
forum.
And
you know what? I get it. I get why he would feel that way, too, after seeing this.
Yeah, he goes, I agree with these Rambo Last Blood reviews. This film is a mess. Embarrassed to have my name associated with it. He goes on to say with Newsweek, he goes, I felt degraded and dehumanized after I left the theater.
Well, yeah, I could get why dehumanized, because the anatomy of the human in this movie does not match up to my own body or anyone's body that I know of.
He goes on, instead of being soulful, the new movie lacks one, Morrell said. I felt I was less a human being for having seen it, and today that's an unfortunate message. Mm. And here's the thing. I actually agree with him because of the fact that this film is essentially just a gore fest. It moves away entirely from what the first film embedded into the foundation for this franchise. John Rambo was not yes, he was trained, and yes, it was hard for him to turn it off, but it wasn't something he wanted to do. It was something that he was driven to do. Like, he was forced to do it. Like, it was second nature to him, much like breathing for everybody else. John Rambo's second nature to him was surviving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in this film, it takes on more of the persona for John Rambo that he is nothing but a killer, and that's all he's ever going to be, so he might as well revel in it. And that kind of seems very counterintuitive to the first film. Because in every other film, even in the last one we just saw, Spence, the one part four, when we were watching the bits and pieces of it,
mm-hmm.
like, he was hesitant to even join in any fight. He just wanted to live out in Burma all by himself and not worry about anybody. But yet he was dragged back in because of the people that he knew that were there. This turned into like, I'm going to have my vengeance and I'm going to eat it cold. Like, I don't know. Like, it just felt like it was more in line with another character than Rambo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I see what you're saying. It's just, he's been through some stuff in the like gap between the fourth one and this one. And I guess I don't fully get what his...
he's been through some stuff.
Well, I don't... Okay. When the movie starts off, it starts off with Rambo. He's at apparently his dad's house he now owns. But
here's the funny thing. I didn't know that until I had to reread his Wikipedia page for this movie. I'm like, oh, 11 years after the events in Burma, John Rambo inherits his late father's horse ranch in Bowie, Arizona, which he manages with his old friend, which I had no idea.
No, that's what I was about to bring up, was her. Like, yeah. I was like, who is this person?
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't know John Rambo was Hispanic. Because I didn't, the whole time I'm thinking, like, maybe she's a sister or cousin or... No, manages with his old friend Maria Beltran and her granddaughter Gabrielle. So, I didn't know any of that coming into this movie, and I've seen more of these movies than you have.
Yeah, no, I was like toggling. I was like, are they married? And this is like her sister.
There's
her
like misleading pictures in there that are like, oh, so maybe him and her? Like, are they a thing? Yeah. Like, would that, I mean, I know.
And then they had it like their goodbye scene and they just hugged each other. And I'm like, well, they better not be married because that is just sad.
That's a sad hug. Like, side hugs, 6-inch rule, leave room for Jesus. Yeah, I just, there were things in here that were not, it would have helped had there been a little bit of context to the previous film, or at least some type of allusion to, alluding to like, oh, hey, so back at the ranch, like, I don't know, like one of the things they used to do, like for TV shows.
Yeah, you know, like, dear journal, I had my friend here move in over the past 7 years with her granddaughter, and I've watched her grow. Like, one of those...
What is this? Clarissa Explains It All? Nah, 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 nah. I can
just
see it.
Just imagine him telling the R.
He just uses his knife to wave it in the wall. Coming to Disney this fall, John Rambo.
You're watching the Disney Channel.
Oh, man. But, like, this movie... So first off, you know, Clarissa Explains It All aside, no, I think that would have been good, like some exposition at the beginning to remind folks, because like I said, it's been 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the last film and I don't remember any part of that.
Yeah, that's a real wild thing to do, is just add people and then not explain them.
Exactly. Like, for what, for 11 years this whatever she is, the niece or the whatever, like, apparently just sprouted to an 18-year-old child? Like, when did this happen?
Yeah, I kind of just assumed it was something I could ask you about later, but then I forgot to.
Nope.
And then I read the Wikipedia article about how they're brand new, and I was very thrown aback about that. Because I thought, you know, the events they were referencing about, like, how, like, the husband left the mom. I was like, that must be in Rambo 4.
Nope.
Crazy choice.
And then, like, without obviously giving spoilers about the actual film itself, you have Gabrielle, who is living with her aunt and her quote-unquote Uncle John. And essentially, she wants to know where her dad has been all this time. He left them when she was young. She ends up running away to go find him, to talk to him, and in the interim... gets caught up in some craziness in Mexico and causes John to have to come down to try to save her. And then the film kind of steamrolls in after that.
Which, okay, hearing your description reminded me of something that I was kind of annoyed about. This movie has a really poor depiction of, like, Mexico, like, right, like, by the border of the U.S.
Yeah.
I've been to, like, I don't know Mexico as well as I know my own country, but I've driven past into Mexico. It is not a lawless land, like, right there.
Yeah, like
I know there's bad parts, but, like...
But to the extent to where, like, stuff like that happens, like, 6 feet away from the border, like, what is happening in this town? Like, are these federales doing anything? It's just really interesting how they depicted that. It's true. Everybody that is, like, looking at you and eyeballing you and wondering, like, how they can rob you blind or use your body for something. It's a trip. And so, essentially, the movie turns into Man on Fire at one point in time. And then from Man on Fire to Homefront with Jason Statham. And then this movie... is trying so hard to fill so many different shoes for fans of action movies that it struggles to find its own voice clearly and loudly in amidst all the gunfire and explosions. Like, it is trying so hard to fill every bucket and check off every box that has everybody up in arms for, like, oh, it's a Rambo movie. He's got to have a big knife. And, oh, it's a Rambo movie. He's got to, like, he's got to mow people down. Oh, it's a, like, they're too.
Have to do any of those things.
Exactly. Like, he didn't do any of that in the first film. And, yes, mind you, there is a subtle nod to, like, the booby traps that he did in the first film, in this film. Like, there's that subtle nod.
I wouldn't call that subtle as I would call it almost like a more violent version of the Home Alone setup scene.
No, well, like, so, like, very true. Here's the thing, though. Like, in the first film, in First Blood, the traps that were set and everything that they were doing, they were all in the mindset of maiming or disarming or disabling, not killing. And in this film, it was like Home Alone ramped up to about a million. Like, everything escalated by, like, a gajillion from the first film. And speaking of escalation, there's a scene. Okay, I'm going to just put it out there because it's earlier in the film. The whoever did the casting for this film should be dragged out and shot. Because this movie had some of the most hokiest acting. And I get it. You want to run a film on a minimal budget of, like, I don't know, 50 mil. But still, like, you know, like, 30 of that went to Rambo.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
went to Sylvester Stallone easily. But this film, the aunt is okay. The niece or the granddaughter or whatever, The friend, holy Toledo, this Chola wannabe, like, can't even keep a straight face, guilty from the get-go, was horrible.
Yeah, she's bad.
The only thing that kept the Hispanic actors, like, doing their job is that nobody knew what they were looking like because everybody was reading the subtitles at the bottom. Like, you didn't have to look at their faces. And it's like, it was frustrating because it was like, I was hoping for really great performances. Like, and I know, broken record, whatever. The first film, you had a sheriff that you absolutely loathe. And that's a good thing because he's not a bad person. He's just playing a really horrible sheriff.
Well, he's kind of a bad person.
Okay, well, whatever personal vendetta you have with Brian Dennehy, you take it up with him. He played Will, what's his name? Chris Farley's father in Black Sheep. So,
oh, okay.
Get it right. No, Tommy Boy. Sorry, not Black Sheep. Tommy Boy.
That was wrong.
Whatever. but I think that's the biggest issue with this film is that it's trying so hard to deliver on parts that are not really necessary, in my personal opinion. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could have done without all those. I could have done without all the extreme booby traps. I could have done without all the, like, massively crazed, you know, explosive set pieces. I could have done, like, none of that for me screams, you know, closure to this franchise.
No, it's more of like the franchise just stops.
Yeah, it's like it's like you having, I don't know if you spend love and, like, celebrating 4th of July or whatever with fireworks, but, like, it's like finding those little bits and pieces of firework at the bottom of the bag, and you're like, all right, just toss these in the fire. Let's see what happens. And it's like these people had the last bit of, like, writing left over from something. And they're like, $50 million. Here you go. Go do something. And it just seemed, it didn't work out. Like, there's characters in these films that not only were bad, but there's also a few that were just so not important. Like, they made no impact at all in the film. Although they're set up to feel like they make a big impact. And I don't know. It just kind of sucks. Because I really wanted this film to succeed. I really wanted the Rambo franchise to have a great, like, a great bit of closure to it. Because as we talked about last week, the first film is so beautifully done. Like, that end sequence, that last third of the film, from the action to the transition of that last monologue, is gosh darn phenomenal.
Yeah, that was beautiful right there.
Yeah. And then you get this, and it's like, huh. All right, well, he's sitting in a rocking chair and holding his belly and holding other parts of his body. That didn't sound right. But no, I just...
Yeah, there's, like, just so many times during this movie where I was like, this is not in fact, how reality works. just from like, oh yeah, you can just drive home from Mexico to Arizona and just bypass the border agents, and they're not gonna, they won't do anything. They're too busy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Just take a take a shortcut across the desert, why don't you? And you'll be there shortly.
Yeah. No one's gonna pull you over if maybe you're driving with a dead person in your car.
What? Wow. Yeah. They're like, yeah. Hey, John.
Hey, Bill.
You working now?
Nope. Just sorting some things out.
As a reference to John Wick. I don't know, man. Like, this movie, I felt like could have been so much more. It really could have been, like, this beautiful top to this incredible cake of this franchise that has been made to kind of crown everything that's been done thus far, you know. And I feel like in the interest of every person out there who, like you were saying, is suffering from these types of things, like we were talking about how, you know, First Blood really spoke on some real issues, This was their final opportunity to really kind of cap on that conversation, to really bring it back around. But no, you know Sylvester Stallone has no intention of stopping this. Like, he's going to keep doing it until he's got to be, like, you know, bedbound, and then he's going to be, like, running around, and they're going to have him one of those beds that stand him up on his, you know, on his feet, walking around like a transformer.
So that way they can get in on the Transformer crossover, and it'll be called Rambo: The Last Night.
Oh, please, God, no. No. I don't know. Spencer, you got any last words on this thing?
I think I am good until we talk about our spoiler section in the next episode.
Okay. Well, I know Spencer loves my surprises, so
why is we're there gonna one do another this thing. Week? We did one last week.
This one's called Will It Genre. We haven't done this in a while. So so in lieu of a not-so-fun film, we want to try to shift gears and turn them frowns upside down.
Well, this was a poor way to do it.
It's time to have fun on the bun with America's favorite game show / podcast segment, Will It Genre?
I'm eating some of your fries.
Oh, by all means. Now, what we're going to do is take the premise of this film and see if we can apply it to other genres and find out if it works.
What?
For example...
Like a romantic comedy?
For example, would the premise of, like, Toy Story 3 work as maybe a crime thriller? Maybe. But that's for another show.
Okay.
I'm loving the look on your face right now. It is absolutely priceless, and I am just gonna enjoy, like, everything.
All right.
So, yeah. By the way, I haven't heard this theme song in a while, so I'm actually digging it.
All right, let's get this show on.
So, obviously, like we said, the premise of this game is essentially just to see if we can apply the Rambo Last Blood story element or plot, even in the most basic of threads, can we make it applicable to other genres?
Okay.
Okay? So... we're going to start out, and essentially, obviously, I can see the categories here. You can't.
Yes,
but I
yes.
can still
it's
speak
always
towards
in
it.
Eddie's favor.
It is, very much so. So we're going to actually start this one off actually with the one you said. And we're going to see, can you make Rambo Last Blood into a rom-com?
Not with it getting instantly creepy.
How do you know?
Who's the romantic, like... Like, who are the romantic leads in it? It's either the little girl and John Rambo, or, like, John Rambo and Maria. Like, you run out of characters you can use where it would make sense.
There's a journalist in this movie.
You know, she's, like, walking into the movie and out in just one straight scene.
I mean, there's essentially, like, an English patient whole scenario here where she's taking care of him for a second. So,
yeah,
I
but it's like for literally a second.
Well, I mean, here's the question, though. Can that be expanded upon to create something like a romantic comedy?
That would be just the most jarring thing. He's like, I have to go save my daughter type person. And then blah, 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 blah. He's like, ooh, Mr. Rambo, you're so big and strong. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that, that is such a hard turn. That would be an insane movie, and I actually kind of would like to see that.
See,
because that
now you're second guessing that.
That no, I'm like saying it's going to be bad, and it sounds crazy, but it also sounds like it's the type of crazy that's right up my alley.
It does, it does, and I think if certain parts of the story were twisted and bent a little bit more, I think it could work. Like not work. I think it could be done. Now, yeah, you could successfully. Would it work?
No. No.
You're already up in arms about wanting to see it. How do you... What? You think you're the
because
only
one? Because I know it's going to be stupid. You know I like stupid things like Sharknado.
People are still keeping the Fast and the Furious franchise out there.
And after seeing Hobbs and Shaw, I can understand why. That movie
whatever.
Was amazing.
All right. Category two. You ready?
All right.
Will it genre as a silent film? Sylvester Stallone on the screen. The next one, mumble, 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 mumble.
I don't know if audiences would have the patience for that today.
What, a silent film?
Yeah, silent type where it's like where people are mouthing and then you flip to the like subtitles of it. Because that seems exhausting.
You do know that a silent film actually won an Academy Award during the 2011 Academy Awards, right?
Well, who cares about the Academy Awards?
Those are the people who give out the awards.
What was the film?
It's called The Artist.
I never heard of that one.
Well, I mean, just because you didn't see it doesn't mean it wasn't there.
Okay.
It's like Bigfoot. Just because you don't see it, he's still there. It won Best Motion Picture of the Year, Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role, Best Achievement in Directing, Best Achievement in Costume Design, and Best Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures by Original Score.
All right. I've got a controversial statement.
Go for it.
I generally do not care what the Academy gives awards to because I feel like sometimes it's just a popularity contest.
Well,
remember when they tried to make... Wait, was it... No, it wasn't them. It was... Who tried to do most popular film as a category?
The Oscars.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Golden Globes? It won Best Performance by an Actor in a Motion Picture for a Comedy or Musical, Best Original Score, and Best Motion Picture.
Yeah. I feel like 2011 wasn't that good a year for movies.
Wow. 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 I mean, sure, if you want to go that way. I think it could work. I think 2011. I think as a silent film, it's definitely one of those movies that... Because if you've ever seen, like, The Artist, not that it's anything like that. By the way, 2011 had Tree of Life, Moneyball. It had Super 8.
Had Hugo.
Had Hugo. Had Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Should have been one movie.
Whatever. I think it could. I think it's feasible, but I don't think it'd be successful, honestly. Like, there are certain types of films that are successful as silent films. This, unfortunately, is not one of them, and I'm not really anxious in seeing it come to pass as one. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it'd work.
Whatever. All right, we got two more categories. All right, ready, Spence?
Uh-huh.
Will it genre as... You ready?
Yeah.
An espionage film.
Okay, yeah, you could make that one work, probably.
Like a spy film. Not running gun, kill, slash, you know, destroy, whatever. I'm talking... Spy, suave, espionage, you know, the guy who's been in the room has been wearing a mask and is the killer the entire time type thing.
Okay, but like you also at the same time need to pair him up with someone.
Pair him up, or because, I mean, if you're thinking in the realm of like James Bond, because just because James Bond was always teamed up with a woman,
I mean, team him up with the reporter,
or team him up with the aunt.
The reporter's got all these like face masks.
She's like a master of disguise. Bring in Dana Carvey. He can do it.
Oh my gosh. No, like, you could make that work. She's got all these disguises because she's a reporter and she needs to just blend into her background like a chameleon. That's how reporters do their job.
Yeah. You don't know many reporters, do you?
You're kind of like a reporter.
Yeah, and I do none of that.
Because you didn't just go to the movie theater. If you had a report about an actual, like, this is happening, you'd have to, like...
I'd Google it.
No, you'd have to...
I would not.
You'd have to.
I wouldn't.
You'd have to.
I wouldn't.
How are you going to get those reporter awards?
I won't. I don't need them. Someone else can have them. Take them, please. I don't know. I don't think Sylvester Stallone is, like, his... If anything was to, like, give us the reason as to why this doesn't work, look at True Lies. True Lies is a comedic take on Arnold Schwarzenegger being somewhat of a spy. He's not very good at it. Neither is he good at blending in. Sylvester Stallone will not blend in.
Well, yeah, that's why you get why you team him up. And you make the other person
with what? A paper bag? What are you gonna
do? The reporter.
What is she gonna do? Like, don't look at him. Look at me. Don't look at him. Look at me. I'm over here. At every party.
No,
I feel like she'd get shot.
You know, like, this is her dumb cousin. She needs a job, so he carries her bags or something.
This is her dumb cousin. Wow.
And then all he's right. Like, oh, say hello. He's like, yeah. Like, it's people who don't ask questions will be like, all right, that's weird, but whatever.
Well, that would just cause people to ask more questions. I don't know how I feel about that. This is my cousin. He's slow, but he needs work. I can see it now. No, I can't. All right. Spencer, we're on our last one. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
Now, remember, this is a will it genre.
Right.
So, movies, TV, video game, not so much video game, but like it's whatever form of media that you...
Could this be a video game?
Could this... Well, it's already been a video game. Will it genre as an animated feature?
I feel like it would probably do the best of all the ones you've told me about as an animated feature, because then you could, like, because it's an animated feature, then you could just make him do whatever, and it doesn't even have to make as much sense, because people will be like, oh, it's an animated feature. Like, sure, you can just stab someone in certain places and grab their hearts out without having to worry about other internal organs.
Well, see, and this is the question. Does that mean it would make better as a animated movie or an animated series?
Movie.
You sure?
Yeah. Like, be done with this franchise.
Like, I don't think it's going anywhere, Spence, in all honesty. Like, as much as I would love for everybody, for whoever is on this team to adhere to Mr. Morrill's, you know, plea for, you know, a cease and desist kind of like thing. Like, it just feels like, yeah, it's one of those types of movies that's like, it really needs to pump its brakes and figure out, like, what exactly it needs to be. I don't know. Weren't you talking about how this was actually a cartoon series or something?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. It in fact, has been one. I was looking up on the Wikipedia page, not that I've actually seen it. But apparently in the late 80s, there was a animated Rambo TV show that ran for like 65 episodes.
Uh-huh.
It had... When was it? Because it had him and like the most 80s sounding thing. Okay, yes, he was fighting an evil organization called Savage, the Specialist Administrators of Vengeance, Anarchy, and Global Extortion. the most 80s sounding name.
Are you serious? Is that what it says?
Yes. I'm looking right at it.
So
Rambo, the Force of Freedom. So 80s. So 80s.
Oh, man, that is rich. I don't even know Savage. What to say about that.
With General Warhawk, Sergeant Havoc, someone called the Gripper.
Did you say the Gripper?
Yes. Gripper.
What in the world is the Gripper?
He's a European mercenary with a metal right hand.
There you go, Spence.
Man.
I don't even know how I feel about the fact that it was a cartoon, but it was back from
1986.
This is already...
The logo was like 10 seconds.
Rambo, the Force of Freedom. Look at his muscle. Oh, it's like, why is he making his muscles jiggle?
Because he's tying his shoes.
Was that his? Oh, that was his shoes? I thought that was his zipper.
Nope, that was shoes. Anywhere, everywhere, the General Warhawk. This is people of the
world. I don't even know what's happening right now.
Why would someone call him and be like, get me Rambo?
Because Charlie was busy. Cut it out.
I called you.
Charlie, get your angels. Sorry, they're busy. Rambo.
See, make her the espionage person. He was teamed up with someone already. Please look up this trailer for Rambo, the Force of Freedom, is it called?
I don't even know.
Force of Freedom.
I'm losing.
Just the opening, it's peak 80s right there.
Did you just say it's peak 80s?
Yeah.
Whatever, Spencer.
What? What could they have done? They had a tank driving through a wall, a man flexing while he was tying his shoes. He slid on snow under a tank or something.
All right. Well, wrapping this whole thing up before this thing goes any more off the rails. Wrapping this whole thing up, obviously, we got to circle back to
James Avery was one of the voices in this series.
He was Colonel Trotman.
Was he Colonel Trotman too? No, was voiced by Alan Oppenheimer. But no, he was one of the bad guys.
Oh, that makes sense because he was Shredder. So.
Yeah.
Wrapping this up and circling it back to the film, Spence, does the film pass or fail for you, and how many monocles?
No, this film fails. Like, just all on its face. It's not even in the same vein of how thoughtful the first movie was. Can't really speak to the other ones, but I was really just disappointed. I think you said it best when you said that this was the best comedy of 2019 because it's hilariously bad.
It really is.
Yeah. So this one gets like a 0.5 of a monocle, which is really because they were so bad with how anatomy works that it was really funny when it happened, which we'll talk about later. But that was really the only bright spot for me in this.
The film doesn't pass for me either, and that's really hard for me to say, seeing as I actually adore the first film. This is one of those movies that could have been so much more. It's a lot like when we talked about A Star Is Born, how it just took an opportunity to be responsible and do something unique, and it just fell flat. And sadly, this is one of those opportunities where it fell flat. So I do agree with the author, and I do feel like this film just doesn't cut the mustard, and I'm gonna have to give it 2 monocles out of 5. Mm. No, 1.5 monocles, because the special effects were kind of cool with the explosions, whatever. You gotta give it to practical effects, right? Every now and then they'll get it right.
Yeah, but then sometimes they got it wrong in this movie. Like, remember when they were supposed to have laser sights on their guns and it looked so fake?
It did.
It's a laser. You can afford those.
So yeah, like I said, this film, we're gonna kind of just hope that this actually ends up taking a rest on the back burner and just seriously let it sit and ruminate for a little while. Don't jump back into it as quickly as, you know, humanly possible. And for God's sakes, Hollywood, learn to create responsible movies. I mean, or at least, if anything, movies that bring the story full circle. Are we literally out of the age where films come full circle? Like, you take a look at Harry Potter or the Avengers, like the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, the Infinity Saga, or, you know, Jurassic Park, or all these other films that come full circle, like the multi-parts. Like, look at Rocky.
It's all dead now.
Whatever. But yeah, here's to hoping that, you know, one day Hollywood will get back to it and actually see what they can and can't do and what they should and shouldn't do. So, I don't know. But let us know what you think about this film. Had you had a chance to see it? You know, are you heading to the theaters to go see it right now? If we can warn you to stop, please let us know. Drop us a line on our Facebook page at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on our Twitter page at twitter.com/filmlosophy101. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you agree, disagree. We want to know your thoughts. Also, just to keep you abreast of the information that's coming down the pipe, we got a great trivia night in store. So we're going to be teaming up with Video Game Bang to bring to you a really awesome Halloween-themed trivia night. Great prizes. I mean, I'm excited. Spence, you excited?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Last time was pretty great.
Fun. Yeah, it was last time. It was really great. We had an awesome opportunity to see some fans and hang out with you guys. So we'd love to do that again. So if you want more information, head over to Oblivion Comics and Coffee. And we should be posting stuff rather soon. And we'll let you know as soon as we find out. So, like I said, this was an interesting conversation. And we both enjoy talking about movies and being more responsible. And just finding things that really... hopefully one day we'll come back to that form, because if David Morrow is upset, if he's pickles, we're all pickles. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
Class dismissed.